This is DW News live from Berlin. Donald Trump sends a message of thanks to well-wishers as he begins treatment for COVID-19.
I think I'm doing very well, but we're going to make sure that things work out.
The U.S. president has been transferred to a military hospital after showing symptoms of the disease. Also coming up, Germany marks the 30th anniversary of reunification. Three decades have brought a lot of progress, but divisions between East and West remain. I'm Michael Oku. Welcome. U.S. President Donald Trump is being treated at a military hospital after testing positive for COVID-19. He's expected to remain at Walter Reed Medical Center for several days. Trump's doctor says he's taking the antiviral drug remdesivir. Earlier, White House officials said the hospitalization was only a precautionary measure and Trump would continue his presidential duties.
The first glimpses of the U.S. president since he shocked the world with his COVID-19 diagnosis. Here, Donald Trump is being transferred to hospital, with officials insisting it's only a precautionary measure. The White House said he was fatigued, but in good spirits, and experiencing mild symptoms. Before takeoff, the president assured his supporters he was doing okay.
I want to thank everybody for the tremendous support. I'm going to Walter Reed Hospital. I think I'm doing very well, but we're going to make sure that things work out. The First Lady is doing very well. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. I will never forget it. Thank you.
The White House had been on high alert after news that a top aide was diagnosed with the virus on Thursday. Hope Hicks, seen here in the brown coat, often travels with President Trump. Now the race is on to trace and test the people who might have come in contact with the president. And the potential pool of people is huge. With an election to win, Trump has been on the road addressing voters. And he hasn't always worn a face mask or followed social distancing guidelines. Outside of Walter Reed, Trump supporters gathered to show their support for the president. But with a month until the election, Trump's illness has thrown the campaign into uncharted territory. If Donald Trump hopes to stay in office, he's going to have to beat the coronavirus first.
Joining me now, our correspondent Maya Schwader in Washington. Greetings, Maya. What do we know right now about the president's condition and the treatment he's receiving?
Well, his condition earlier today was described as mild and then progressed to moderate. We know that he's on a cocktail of different drugs, and according to his doctors, he seems to be responding well to the treatment. We also know that the First Lady has a, quote, mild cough and a headache. The White House really seems to be putting out information to try to, you know, mollify the public, make it look like he's doing well, at least, you know, downplaying any possible ideas that the symptoms are severe, saying things like, oh, he's energetic, he's still working at the hospital, he's in good spirits. Meanwhile, we do have media reports that he's feverish and fatigued. So it's a question of how much is the White House being really, truly transparent here and how much are they trying to, as I said, mollify the public?
And one can't deny his age. I mean, he's clearly in his 70s. How serious is this situation?
Well, it certainly seems to have had quite a blast radius, shall we say. We are up to 8 other people, at least, who have also come forward recently and said that they have also been tested positive, and who knows how many more are going to come forward. Over the weekend, we had 3 reporters who have been around the same events as Trump who have come forward and said they're positive, 2 senators, as well as former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, his former aide Kellyanne Conway, his campaign manager. All of these are people who are very close to the president, but it's not just these, you know, top D.C. politicos. The Trump campaign has done events in 7 different states over the past weekend. Last Saturday, he was in Pennsylvania, which is a very hot, important state for both candidates to try to capture. Thousands of people showed up at a Trump rally, and now the state health department is begging these people to please go get tested. So it's not just in Washington. It's potentially thousands more people across the country.
Mm. So, of course, the main news at this hour is the fact that the president's been hospitalized, as we've been reporting. We know he'll have to be out of commission for at least several days. What does this mean for the election?
Well, not just several days. He and the First Lady have said that they are going to quarantine for the full 14 days, which brings up questions of when the next debates are supposed to happen. This has been a very destabilizing event in what was always already a very norms-shattering campaign season. He's had to cancel or postpone most of his big rallies, which are really, you know, the centerpiece of his campaign. And for a president that, if you believe the polls, is currently trailing in the polls behind his opponent, that's really not a good look. Now, on Biden's side, Biden has to try to walk the line between looking crass and political and being able to use this moment to play up his plan for the pandemic, his plan for economic recovery, and cast himself in contrast to Trump's more, shall we say, cavalier approach to the crisis.
Maya Schwader with the latest in what's been an extraordinary political season in the United States, to say the least. Thanks so much. Let's turn now to some of the other stories making news at this hour. Early voting has begun in New Zealand's general election. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern was among the first to cast her ballot in the lead-up to Election Day on October 17th. The Labour Party leader is expected to win a second term thanks to her handling of the coronavirus pandemic and other crises. An unmanned cargo rocket has taken off from the Wallops Island Spaceport in Virginia with some 3.5 tons of cargo on board. The Cygnus is carrying supplies for astronauts aboard the International Space Station, along with materials for scientific experiments. Germany is marking the 30th anniversary of reunification, an event many thought would never happen. East Germans were hoping for a better life. Many found new opportunities and improved their standard of living. But others found themselves in the midst of upheaval and were left behind. Even now, 30 years later, divisions remain between East and West.
There was no master plan, no example worldwide for this historic event, German reunification. Not even a year before the Berlin Wall had come down, after months of peaceful protest in the former East Germany. The US, UK, France and the Soviet Union gave the green light, paving the way to reunify the two Germanies. Those from the East had to adapt to many things. New money, a new economic system and a new lifestyle. Soon, the disillusionment kicked in.
What was missing was a public debate about the cost of unification, over the economic, financial cost, but also about the social, mental cost and the psychological burden connected with the decline, the economic decline of East Germany and the mass unemployment, which nobody can imagine before in East Germany.
As many as 4 million workers in the East saw their jobs disappear. Countless others had to take on work that was below their qualifications. Many young and educated people left to look for a better life. Some areas feel the neglect to this day.
There are rural areas where there's a lot of poverty and where people feel left behind. They're turning towards what they have, which is often their national identity or even their racial identities.
In the last national elections, the center-right and center-left parties were more popular in Western Germany, the far-left and extreme-right in Eastern Germany. A celebration nevertheless takes place every year, with good reason.
We have had 30 years of peace and prosperity for a lot of people. We think of Germany as such a stable and secure country. I think it's amazing when you look back at German history. Over 100 years, Germany went through from a monarchy to a failed democracy, to a dictatorship, to a communist system, to a successful democracy, and then to reunification. So reinvention is the real headline for German history.
Regardless of the differences, reunified Germany is often seen as an example of a stable and democratic country.
I'm joined now by Florentine Schmidtmann, a historian from the Leibniz Center for Contemporary History in Potsdam, Germany. She's a specialist on communist East Germany as well. It's nice to have you here on the set.
Thank you.
Let me start by asking you this. What significance does reunification have for younger Germans today?
I think that the younger generation takes the reunification for granted. So it's simply not possible to imagine this division for 40 years. And so I think reunification is a celebration to do, but it's nothing that really impacts us. You always have to imagine how could it have been to not be able to maybe study in Eastern Germany or to live in West Germany. So it's always a big part of imagination.
I suppose you could argue the young Germans are not unlike young people in any country in that regard, I suppose. 30 years after the event, would you say that the East and the West are on equal footing? In other words, would you say that they've been able to realize equality?
Well, in terms of equal pay and I think it's not the same. You can still really you have the difference between West and East if you're, for example, in the public sector. But on the other hand, I think that especially the young generation has the same chances. So I think, yes, in a way it is. And we still have a little bit to go to really make it equal, the equal pay. But I think we're on a good way to go.
Would you say that there's some resentment still, however, on the part of East Germans?
Sure. And also on the point of West Germans. I mean, it's 40 years is not a very short time. And it's a whole generation, maybe it's even two generations of people. And those people are still working. And now most of them, they're going to be retired one day. And but they didn't have a lot in common. I mean, now it's clear that they are Germans both. But a long time it was different. It was two states coexisting.
Everyday life, obviously, for the typical East German, radically transformed after reunification. But I'm curious about how West Germans perceive this historic milestone.
That's an interesting point, because I think that people in West Germany, you really have to make a difference if they were in contact with East German people. For example, if they had relatives, they went on a regular basis there to visit them with families, and they really had an understanding of how life in the GDR is. But if you didn't have any contact with those people, most of the West Germans were not really interested. So I think reunification for most of the people came very, very surprising. And as well, we have the solidarity tax. So there are some points where people say, oh, our money goes to the East. So it's a lot of just some thoughts that are not really undermined with substance. It's just something that you heard of, and there are even people that haven't visited East Germany, like Leipzig, Dresden, even though it's beautiful. Yeah. So I think. okay.
No, you made your point very clearly. You made it very clearly. Florentine Schmidtmann, it's a pleasure to have you with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
In football now, English side Liverpool have confirmed their forward Sadio Mane has tested positive for the coronavirus. Mane played a key role in helping Liverpool win the Premier League title last season. His symptoms have been described as minor, but he'll now have to self-isolate for 10 days. Mane is the second Liverpool player to contract the virus this week after Thiago Alcantara's positive test. Alcantara recently joined the club from Bayern Munich. You're up to date on this point. My name is Michael Oku here in Berlin for all of us. Thank you so much for watching. Up next, an interview with the president of the